of members. I want to have a quorum. Honorable Tou. Honorable Jim Bapela, I can see you are here. That's why I'm still running. Oh, Honorable Lusubi, you are here. Hi, sir. Oh, now you made me have my quorum. I was waiting for you to log in.
No, I logged in earlier, sir. At half past five.
Honorable Adebe, you are here. Welcome. Yes. You were making me getting worried about my quorum. I'm glad now we have the quorum. Just to confirm the presence of members, Honorable Prisikaba, you are here. Honorable,
yes, ma'am.
Honorable Ngozi Luthuli is here. Honorable Mukalisi. Honorable Keza. Honorable Opperman. Honorable Adebe and Honorable Sloan, including Honorable Hanis Hendrik is part of us as well. So we do form a quorum. The meeting can start. Let me take this opportunity to also acknowledge the presence of Minister Nkosazana Zuma and Deputy Minister Tau, including Deputy Minister Wampela. Yeah, it's always a pleasure to have you in this meeting. And as we always say, whenever you have time, you do indeed attend the meeting. I want to also welcome the delegation from the city of Nelson Mandela Bay. They are led by, according to the information at my disposal, they are led by the executive mayor, acting executive mayor, Mr. Buyeye. And then in the midst, we have the speaker, Councillor Mafeye. And then the chief whip, Councillor Suka, MMC Finance, Councillor Mtila, and MMC Infrastructure. Councillor Louisa, and then they are accompanied by the executive manager, Mr. Mabu, and then Mamkize, the meeting is started.
Mamkize.
Mamkize, the meeting is started. Can you please mute your mic, please? It's muted, I suppose. And then, yes. And the, I was just saying the head for disaster management is Mr. Brown and the CFO is Mr. Faith. This is the delegation that I'm having from the Nelson Mandela Bay speech. Then we just need to start this meeting, colleagues. We are going to interact with the city of Nelson Mandela Bay. And then once we do that, we want to apologize as well. Last week we had thought we would interact with the colleagues from Nelson Mandela Bay. We had thought that plenary sitting was going to end for 16 hours. Something beyond our control, we finally concluded the business of the day around almost up at 7 in the evening. And we sincerely appreciate your understanding to that effect, because I think you logged in before, which is you that you're going to finish it by that couldn't happen. We sincerely appreciate your understanding to that regard. Colleagues, you should know that we're already interested in the other. And then if we do that today, we are going to then conclude our interaction with all these cities which are declared hotspots in terms of the current disaster management regulations. At depending on how you respond to your question, you might probe us to have follow-up meetings with you, like we've done with the City of Cape Town. We had to call them back for the second time last week. And then one has managed to browse through your website one to hear and interact with you today. There is a clear indication that the municipalities are making response to the pandemic by virtue of just looking at your website. And then we want to appreciate the good what you are doing in informing the world on the work that you are doing, including your communities in particular. We have picked up something very interesting that we have never seen in other municipalities. There is a Babalatoli, can you meet your mic, please? My sister, meet your mic. Your papers are discussing the meeting. Mute. You haven't muted your mic, the visitor. Thank you. Yes. So, I was just saying that we have seen that in your website, colleagues from the Nelson Mandela Metro, that there is a dedicated COVID-19 webpage where one learns of the Metro's establishment of the disaster management advisory forum to coordinate the local responses to the pandemic. I think one will continue to commend you for that, because it's something that I think all the others can learn this best practice. As one goes through that webpage, one picks up that there is a plenty of educational material relating to the use of masks, social distancing, self-quarantine, contact tracing, and other measures to raise the level of awareness on the pandemic. And then I've also observed the WhatsApp support emergency contact, the call center, and also the hotline that are clear in the display as one opened their website. Colleagues, I will urge you to go through that website. It's quite informative. And then, like I said earlier, this is a very commendable, and it is also consistent with the fact that the Metro is leading the COVID-19 hotspot in the province. The way you have responded is much commendable and appreciated. The other thing, which is not good, I think it is very dismaying to note incidents of stigmatization against people and families who have tested positive for COVID-19. I think that if we don't do something about it as a leadership in the Metro, it's bound to hinder the municipality's contact tracing efforts as the people will become reluctant to submit themselves to fear of stigmatization. So we'd like to encourage you as the municipal leadership to continue to intensify your public education and awareness campaigns in this regard. We have also noted the severity of the ongoing drought, which has precipitated a serious water and sanitation crisis in the Metro. Regrettably, we have also seen that there is a backlog of 15,000 reported water leaks across the Metro. On a monthly basis, we also noted that the Metro loses 33% of its total water consumption just to water leaks alone. So therefore, this is very much unfortunate given already constrained water environment and the increased demand for water in the context of this COVID-19 pandemic. And the other thing that we've seen as a concern is with regard to the leadership challenges in the municipality arising from the vacancy of the position of the executive mayor. And then we also see that you have an acting and maybe for the time being, maybe even when you address us then, if that position has been vacant, for how long has it been vacant as we. And then we have also noted that the minister has sent correspondence to the municipality taking yourself to resolve this issue as a matter of agency. So I think you want to also then get an assurance from yourself that you are also committed and dedicated to addressing the water resources and the leadership capability as much as to maximize the use of your own online platform to communicate and promote your educational material on COVID-19. If you can also give all these two items of the leadership challenge, including the issue of addressing the issue of water leaks, the way you are handling these other matters on the educational material on COVID-19, then I think say thumbs up to you, colleagues. With these few words, I think I need to welcome you to this meeting. At least then, because the meeting was postponed last week, it gave the members and people the opportunity to go through this presentation. I think I will give you Executive Mayor, Acting Executive Mayor Katsena Buyeye, a maximum of 15 minutes to highlight the key issues that you want the colleagues to know, and yeah, and otherwise the colleagues will have ample time to interact with you. At the end, she was the minister and the DMC available. I will also give them time to make an input post the interaction by the colleagues. Over to you, Executive Mayor.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and greetings to you and everyone who's in the part of the meeting. Greetings to the minister, and greetings to the deputy ministers and all the colleagues that are here. We want to say thank you very much for affording us this opportunity to come and present to you and your committee about our response as a city to the COVID-19 challenges. And we had hoped that the meeting was supposed to sit a few weeks ago, and we could not sit, and we want to say thank you to yourselves for allowing us when we made an apology when on the date that was suitable to yourselves, as we had at the time a scheduled council meeting. The issue of COVID-19 in the city, Chairperson, is a real issue now. It's a matter that it's starting to really show its ugly head, and we are very much concerned as a city. As you might be aware that we are also the epicenter of the province in terms of numbers, but we believe also, Chairperson, that the national lockdown that was pronounced by the president, it afforded us an opportunity to put systems in place to make sure by the time we reach a stage where the experts say it's going to be a peak time for us as a city, we should be in a position where we should be able to handle a crisis situation. We are currently having a lot of challenges, I must say. I'm personally in isolation. I'm in isolation, Chairperson, because one of the mayoral drivers that I was working with on a daily basis, he passed on, I think, 2 days ago, as a result of the COVID-19. And one of the drivers also that I was with, two of them have tested also positive. So it is not something that we are seeing as numbers anymore. but it is something that is really within us, and we see it, we can see it with our own eyes. It is a concern, and as I've said, I'm currently on isolation, so I could not be in office for the past 2 days at chair. And the presentation we had prepared for you, if you may allow us, and because we were in one room at the time, we were preparing for the meeting, and we had asked, we had a presentation, that's a short one, overview of the, I'm sure you have read what we had sent you, which is not entirely what is the strategy of us responding in its entirety. But we have prepared something for you so that you can get a picture of what is currently the situation in the Bay. And if you can give, with your indulgence, allow me to ask the head of disaster management just to quickly run through that, and then we will take questions after that, Chairperson, with your indulgence.
Just want to pray for you, for God to give you strength. It's gonna pass. As long as you face it religiously. Mr. Brown, are you ready to present? There you go. Thank you. Proceed. Brown?
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
I'm on the article.
Sure, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm going to move fairly quickly through some of it because I understand that everybody has seen the presentation. I say once again, good evening, everybody. The outline is what the presentation is about. Okay, let me just move on to a full page. The legal framework, I think all the ministers and everybody's aware, constitution is a supreme legislation, then the Disaster Management Act and various other regulations and acts that are important to this whole process. The demographics and development patterns in the metro, I believe, is very important in the process to understand it. Obviously, the metro is situated in East Cape Province. It's largely been affected by separate development, and these skewed development patterns present themselves in the following regions. Our northern areas, which is a predominantly coloured and poverty-stricken area with high unemployment and crime rates. Then Ibaie and Motherwell, predominantly black and poverty-stricken, with also high unemployment rates and poverty and so forth. Western suburbs, formerly mainly your white areas, as affluent areas. Uteneg Dispatch, dominated by township and farm. And then your inner city, warmer, affluent, except for one anomaly in that area, an area that we refer to as Kobega. Some people refer to it as warmer township, which is situated in the warmer area. The profile of the metro is roughly 1,960 square kilometers. Population, around 1.3 million. Households, 366,000. Informal settlement, 76,500. I'm not going to go through the whole lot. Huge capital grant dependency, 77% of our budget, which is not a healthy scenario. Access to sanitization, as of March 2020, 6,010 people were still, homes were still using bucket systems. Unemployment, 35%, which is in all probability much higher now. Operating budget, 12.1 billion. Non-revenue water, 33.49, that's real water losses. Electricity losses, 13.95%. The location of the informal settlements, as one can see, that's your Uteneg, Kwanabushle, Motherwell, Ibaie, northern areas, and there's a little area down here, that's Kobega, warmer. And then there's a few in the western suburbs as well, sparsely situated, also informal settlement. Distribution of 80 assistance to the poor program beneficiaries. You can see it's roughly more or less correlating exactly where our poor areas or informal settlement areas are as well. The COVID-19 pandemic you will see all three maps actually refer to the same scenario, where you'll see our main spread is basically being in the poorer areas of the metro. However, I must also reiterate that is really changing as we speak, in that the latest COVID-19 cases show that there's a spread throughout the metro now, although the big spread is still in your poor community. Investment in COVID areas. Traditionally, the municipality and province have spent the majority of its capital funding on projects that service the poorest areas of the city, which correlates to the previous maps. The COVID-19 infection by area cumulative test results, one can see, and please, this map was dated the 9th of June 2020. It has changed a little bit, where some of the red spots are now also pink or purple as per that time, because of growth. But all, as one can also clearly see, the entire metro has got COVID positive cases. The financing of the COVID-19. No budget was made for COVID-19 in the 1920 adjustment budget. The municipality then approached National Treasury for reprioritization of the USCG, and priority was granted to reprioritize an amount of $231 million. For our response to COVID-19. COVID-19 lockdown regulations coupled with the impact of lockdown on the entire economy necessitated a total review of the draft budget and service delivery projects and programs to match the collection rate, which has been lowered to 84% currently as a result mainly of COVID-19 and people being unable to pay their rates or what they owe to the municipality. The financing COVID-19 major budget reduction areas, reduction of grants to the municipality entity, MBEA, for the period of by 12 million, 13 million and 14 million, respectively, freezing of approximately 80% of all budgeted vacancies, reduction of all new capital projects funded from the fuel levy for the period of by 67.4 million, 117.4 million and 165.4 million, respectively. Financing COVID-19 major budget reductions continues. Reduction of the contribution funded from property rates to operationalize the IPDS bus system due to affordability. Reducing traveling and accommodation budgets resulting from COVID-19 pandemic. Use of other modes for meeting, visualized, Zoom, Microsoft Teams, etc. And reducing the budget for international travel to zero. By the way, nobody wants to travel overseas at the moment. Financing COVID-19 major budget reductions, flowing from the above, the following processes will unfold. The draft budget, which was presented to a council meeting on 5 June 2020, will be presented to council on 15 June 2020 for noting. This was duly done. COVID-19 adjustment budget will be tabled to council on 15 June 2020 for adoption. Draft budget will be submitted to National Treasury and Department of Local Government for perusal before being presented to council for final adoption. COVID-19 expenditure report will be submitted to National Treasury and Council as prescribed. Payment relief programs to assist local residents and businesses experiencing financial hardship will be presented to Council on the 15th of June. 2021 to 2022-2023 budget and IDP will be presented to Council for adoption by 30 June. Our structure, which basically formulates all the other structures, our disaster jock sits once a week every Tuesday with a full briefing of various role players from all sectors, from South African Police Service, military, traffic, fire, our security, human settlement, Department of Education, Department of Home Affairs, Department of Labour, Tourism, IPES, Transport, and various other, and SASA, as well as in turn also social relief. The disaster centre also looks at another aspect. As one is very well aware, we've got the COVID-19 task team, but the metro is also a drought-stricken area and is under a drought declaration. And national drought was redeclared in this regard, and that's basically what the structure looks like in terms of these various efforts to control both sectors. Based on the attached plan that was submitted to National Treasury for reprioritization of the USCG, the following progress has been made. 500 chemical toilets and water standpipes have been provided, giving access to water and sanitation to households. Service providers have been appointed and is busy with installation of precast toilets to 2,000 households across the metro. 40 temporary shelters have been provided to the vulnerable elderly community members with corresponding appointment of home helpers through EPWP program to roll out 1,500. 15 water tankers have been provided to fill 108 JoJo tanks provided by the Department of Water and Sanitation. The intervention report, and this is what we've taken from public health because the Department of Health are very an integral part of our operation center, and we have a very close working relationship with them. This is one of the strategies, targeted areas. This is just an example of a cluster that we've used various people, with the ward counselor being the jock commander of that cluster. Those are the role players, ward counselors, street committees, clinic committees, NGOs, MPOs, SAPs, and various other role players, as we can see there. Also interesting to mention that we are also being assisted by the Cuban doctors as well. The integrated district development, that's a Patani approach. The family physician, team leader, organizer team, that's a category. And then on the stakeholders, you've got your ward counselor, your street committees, and all the other committees that all lend support to that process. The approach, fully deployed team full-time in the cluster. Clusters can be a number of wards. That's a Patani approach where all stakeholders from part of the team form part of the team. Core health team with named leaders in all categories. Municipality resources such as EPWP and environmental health practitioners. Municipality also assists with alternative housing as part of the improved spatial redistribution to improve quarantine and social distancing. Local councils to be the lead in community communication and engagement. This will also ease of entry, community buy-in, and also try and work towards the issue of destigmatization, which is an ongoing issue, but we are working very hard to deal with that matter. Continued team goes into the cluster area and COVID, ensuring that everyone in the cluster has been screened. Team is resident and does follow-ups and engages through local councillors on new entries. The Tasman Police Service is part of the team to ensure compliance with lockdown protocols and assist in situations of resistance, especially for isolation, quarantine, and social distancing, example in malls. These are the recoveries. As we are increasing the infections, obviously we are also going through a recovery process as well where people are recovering. Cases in Zwili, again, just an example where you'll see Zwili is interspersed with current cases and recovery cases. The PPE status, in the beginning of COVID, our hospital, the Department of Health, really struggled with PPE. I'm pleased to say there's been a significant improvement, and in most areas, there's roughly a six-week stock in hand, except for areas such as your disposable gowns and hand sanitizers and hand soap. And we are working on that. The municipality has also assisted from time to time with providing Department of Health with additional resources as well in this regard. Deployment of security personnel and resources into the response plan. As you can see, there's been quite a large deployment from various sectors. The total manpower per day per shift is 1,321 and 371 vehicles per shift. The water crisis, I think it's important that we also just quickly go through this process. NMBM, as we've already said, was declared a disaster area. The COVID-19 pandemic has added a burden to the already water-trapped municipality. Interesting to note that even though business was effectively shut down in the beginning of COVID, our water consumption did not reduce over that period because of people at home and the encouragement of people to wash their hands and use water as a process. So the water consumption did not actually decrease whilst the factories were closed. Our dam storage level, as you can see, is incredibly low. The Coca Dam is, the current one is actually now less than 10%, Churchill 63%, Impofu 16%, Kundal 34%, total average 20.7%. Don't be misled by the high percentage in Churchill, it is not a big dam. Drought interventions, reduction of water, leak repairs, reducing water wastage by fixing leaks, is one of the most effective ways of saving this. using emergency contractors to carry out emergency repairs, installation of flow restrictors, discs and electronic restrictions, water conservation campaign, it's an ongoing campaign. It's in the media on a daily basis, encouraging communities to reduce their water consumption. Pressure management, flow limiting, and restrictions. These are all the different strategies from the next 3 to 6 months, which we view as critical in the city. Water supply versus demand. As I mentioned earlier on, you can see July through to August, we're looking at 312 megalitres per day. We're hoping to bring that down significantly to try and reduce the use of water from our dams and from the road conduct scheme, which is what is going to be our saving grace in terms of the disaster from water point of view. The revenue collection trends, as already mentioned, it's not been great. The collection rate is not calculated per service, but rather based on a basket of services. Thus, billing is based on a basket of services and debtors are not allowed to choose which service they are paying. Payments are allocated to first clear interest and then oldest debts outstanding. Remainder payment is allocated to service in a predetermined order. Collection rate is thus not calculated per service, but rather based on a basket of services. As you can see in August, and I'm not going to go through everyone there, August was 9th, where collection rate was 96.9%. September, October was a reduction, it went down to all the way down to 83. November, there was an improvement. December, it dropped again. January, it dropped. February, it was a slight increase. March was a fairly decent increase, and then came COVID, and there's a marked reduction in terms of collection. Rates and services, average monthly collection, August to March, 731 million. April to May, 507 million. Average under collection, 224 million per month. Projected under collection remains at 672 million, a significant under collection. Average under collection for next financial year, we're basing it on what the current is, and we're talking about almost 2.7 billion rand. Payment relief, a council meeting is scheduled, that's already happened, to consider to possibly approve a payment relief program to assist local residents. That is still a process needing to still happen in terms of that. Council meeting happened. Economic action and recovery. Like all metros, they've been hard hit by the COVID-19 pandemic, and this has already affected the collection rate and is expected to continue in the next financial year on average as follows. I've already mentioned through that, 2.7 billion rand. Developmental mandate of the municipality, the mayoral committee resolved to propose an economic recovery plan to council. This plan will be submitted to the COCTA and National Treasury when draft budgets and IDP are submitted for perusal. Business recovery plan centre to help local companies get the assistance they need to reopen or stay open is being established as a one-stop shop to facilitate access to local, provincial and national resources for businesses during and after COVID-19 pandemic. Focus on case management, which is an approach that provides businesses with financial and technical assistance on its own turf and dispensing recovery staff to individual businesses. Carries out COVID-19 business recovery functions through a centralized location. Metro will work with organizations such as Community Futures and other national agencies to develop loan programs. They partner with the private sector to ensure an appropriate response and speed to recovery. Cannot do this alone, and aspects will include technical support services or an in-kind donation of goods or services, improve COVID-19 consciousness of the general population and local business community as part of a sustained communication plan, contribute time, products and money, make a commitment to stay in Nelson Mandela Bay to rebuild, retain employees, even expand and reinvest. This helps build community confidence, which is critical to our recovery. Identify issues for post-COVID-19 business re-entry and help develop a tiered system for business re-entry. Identify contracting and procurement opportunities for economic recovery services for local business. Organize capital availability for businesses. Review plans and preparedness tactics. Many large corporations have emergency response planners on staff and it's working together. Help identify other financial resources identify local resources for technical assistance to business. Continue will engage business to establish a business emergency response recovery team, identify the roles and responsibilities for the economic development organizations, other business, trade and professional organizations, individual business owners and operators, and non-profit organizations that support economic resilience. We will engage also in a variety of lending sources such as local banks, credit institutions and other alternative financial institutions to identify available lending products, financial terms. A differentiated approach to support between established business in specific sectors and SME sector and informal economy. Consideration of various incentives and or tax holidays tailor-made for specific sectors, i.e. tourism. The above requires a delicate balance between maintaining maximum levels of revenue for the city and providing such financial relief affected businesses. Priority will be given to ensure that the capital infrastructure spend of the city prioritizes labor-intensive projects with sufficient provision of opportunities for SME sector. Reprioritization of the city's overall budget to finance more productive and employment creation capital programs. Experiences since the declaration of the disaster, while the Constitution reserves various functions for concurrent competence of national and provincial government, the COVID-19 revealed a need to devolve such functions as health, social development, human settlement to municipalities. During the COVID-19 pandemic, NMBM was compelled to go beyond its mandate and outside to perform such functions as provision of shelter to the homeless, which functions are unfunded mandates and which interventions expose NMBM to risks of material audit queries. I've already mentioned that we even got as far as assisting departments of health with PPEs at the hospitals, including temperature scanners, to try and assist with the process. In fact, in the latest request where they are also requesting transport because we have a challenge with ambulance services as well as the moment. The IGR needs to be strengthened as it becomes evident during this period that high collaboration of stakeholders provides effectiveness in service delivery. The JOC has played a massive role in this process in collaborating and talking to one another. There's a need to address underdevelopment and segregation in the development patterns as it became evident, though no formal study was undertaken, that poverty-stricken communities are vulnerable during disaster. The maps highlight this matter very clearly in this process. Over-reliance on grant funding is unsustainable and the municipality must expand its revenue base. Robust plans have to be undertaken to unlock development through expansion of economic activity and implementation of catalytic projects must be fast-tracked to boost our economy. Assistance required from local and national governments to prioritize the transfer of all conditional grants to the NMBM, the government departments to prioritize the payment of rates and services. I thank you.
Thank you so much, Mr. Brown. I realize you're trying to move the necessary speech as requested. Yes. Colleagues, this is the presentation from the Metro. Can I see the show of hands for those who want to interact with the presentation? I've seen Honorable Cheza. Who else?
Okay.
Opperman.
Opperman. I've shared with you, Honorable Cheza.
Kalipi.
Hendrik.
Hendrik.
Who has?
Honorable Hachebe with AG.
Hachebe. Who has? Is that all? Okay. Can I hand over to Honorable Eva?
Yeah, for now, okay.
For now what?
I'm sorry, for now. I'm still busy with reaching because I was not hoping
like Nelson Mandela, for example, and in Khayelitsha, there are 5 JoJo tanks there, and then there's 2 taps, and then all in NS, there is not even a special allocation for the disabled there. And you find that the population is plus minus 1,000. You know, I'm not even talking about the electricity that is very, very slow. What measurements did you conduct to arrive at the number of water tanks vis-a-vis the population? Because Masbambani informal settlements, 15 mobile toilets. Because you see that Asnavalo has 8, then Masbambani has 15 mobile toilets. And then you go to Mandela Village, has 16 mobile toilets, and then you've got 4 tents. You know, when you look at the number of people vis-a-vis the JoJo tents, 4 JoJo tents, 1,000 people, it does not make sense. Can you just give us a clarity there? In terms of can you explain to us that there is an issue in Ward 32 where child-headed homes and orphans have not received the food parcels. Can you explain how many of them have you given in that ward, and when were they given? Because I'm receiving complaints in terms of Ward 32, where people are saying we registered but we are not given anything there. So I'm not getting a sense of what it is that you have done in Ward 32 in terms of food parcels. Chairperson, I've got a lot of questions. So I will give to other members to continue so that I don't eat on time. And lastly, Chairperson, lastly, before I come back the other time, in NU, there's relocation process there, that is in Shashapans, that is underground there. And human settlement is said to be responsible of that relocation process using the lockdown, the lockdown period, while the regulations are not allowing people to be removed around, and there was oversight that looked at that area where people are being relocated. There are no toilets, there's no water, there's no electricity, there are no basic services. Can you explain that location there in NU 30? Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much, Honorable Keza. The next speaker on the list is Honorable Oberman.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'd like to ask the Metro, on page 46, you give a breakdown of your challenges. I'd like to know which government departments are owing you rates and services and how much. Then on page 46.
It's slide 46, not page. Not slide.
Yes, Chairperson.
Slide.
On slide 44.
Okay.
I want a summary of all your unfunded mandates, which are likely to expose you to material audit queries, as you mentioned on slide 44. On slide 21, point D, you mentioned that you continuously fill your water tanks through water tanking and that the metro has been declared a disaster water area. Does your current supply meet the demand, and how many leaks have you repaired in your northern areas in the past 2 months? On page 15, slide 15, you mentioned that you froze 80% of your budgeted vacancies. How will this impact on service delivery? And what do you mean, slide 6, with 6,010 buckets in circulation? What does that mean? On page 6 again, with almost 76,000 informal households in informal settlements, what is your current housing backlog and your plans in terms of spatial integration? And are you getting the necessary assistance from the Department of Housing? And back to your northern areas, including Ibaie and Motherwell, where the highest crime rates and the highest employment is, and also where the highest outbreaks is, what COVID-19 relief measures and assistance are you giving your northern areas, and what investment are you making there? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Opperman. Honorable Mkali, please. Mkali, please.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Can I also turn my camera off because of the network?
It's okay.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, thanks for the presentation from the Metro of Nelson Mandela. I just want to start to understand on what you commented on when we started the meeting in regards to the political situation. We know that since the mayor, who was the mayor before, there were some changes. So there is no mode of running of the council. I think one of these days the council met. The aim of the meeting was to deal with the budget, but we heard that there was a motion of putting a new mayor. So we want to understand, as COCTA, as this committee, how does that Ugingqikomo, the metro, how does it affect the council, the running of the council, because automatically it will also affect the people on the ground. That is my first question. On your slides, on your presentation, you talk about 231 million that you ask from the National Treasurer to reprioritize in terms of COVID. I know that you said in your presentation that you have used this amount to address issues like the one that was raised by Honorable Tweza, such as attending to the water crisis, as Nelson Mandela Bay is declared as a water disaster area. But now I agree with Honorable Tweza that you don't give us details. We want to get a detail of how do you spend that money, that 231 million. Because when you just give us a round of something like 500 chemicals of toilets, but you don't tell us would that 500 chemical toilets and water stand pipes have been provided for how many communities. For instance, you must paint a picture whereby we are going to get a clear picture as a committee to say that we have so many informal settlements in Nelson Mandela Bay, and out of this informal settlement, we are dividing this 500 chemical toilets per informal settlement, and this informal settlement is got how many people, in order for us to get a clear picture how our people are benefiting from this amount that you are talking about. So you just tell us that you have 40 temporal shelters that have been provided, shelters for how many people. You don't tell us 15 water tankers that have been provided for how many people. It does not help us to understand how do you address the issue of COVID in Nelson Mandela. That's one. The second issue, Chair, I just want to get from the council leadership, because we know that many people will lose their job during COVID-19. So what are the intervention strategies from the municipalities to make sure that those people who have lost their income are not going to find themselves in huge debt? So is the council having that intervention strategy? We know that the issue of unemployment is too high in this country. For sure, Nelson Mandela is also affected. So, abantu kubebe ibambela nje amatohwana, surely they are going to be affected. It does not mean that abantu base Nelson Mandela, they are employed. So now we need to know how do you intervene on such situation. Apart from that, Chairperson, what I would like to know in general about the Nelson Mandela is that we know that there is an outcry when it comes to the issue of the houses. So the information that I've got, Chairperson, is that this issue of houses is the function of the province now, and as well as the national government. It is no longer an issue that was the issue before 2015. So therefore, the council is only saying to people of Nelson Mandela, no, we are not responsible for building any houses because it's not our mandate as a municipality. So therefore, how do you address the issue of houses? Because I'm sure it's going to affect the council big time. You know, the majority of the people, they will look at the municipality, they will look at the councillors. They voted for the councillors. If a person, an ordinary person, does not have an RDP house, it's not normal for an ordinary citizen to go to the provincial department to say, I'm looking for an RDP house. So what are you doing as Nelson Mandela to say to national and provincial government, please bring back that aspect so we can also be part and parcel of building houses in the Nelson Mandela. Secondly, I also want to concur with you, Chairperson, when the acting mayor was telling the COPTA committee to say that he's in isolation. We wish you a speedy recovery with all those people that were in contact with you, whether it's the staff members or anyone, acting mayor. So therefore, Nelson Mandela is also an epicenter. So therefore, also please share with us, how do you make sure that the issue of capacity at a local clinic, because I know it's not your functions as well. So we saw the intervention of the national minister in the whole of Eastern Cape. Surely it also affects you as a local municipality because it also talks to you, it also talks direct to your people. So how do you, I mean, in that aspect, especially on the health side, how do you deal with the situation? Because it might be very difficult. Please just paint a picture for us in order to understand the situation of Nelson Mandela. I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Mkhalipi. Honorable Brink.
Thanks very much. Chair, let me just say that it's very good to see the minister as well. Attending the meeting, it gives us an opportunity to also put a question or two. Thanks for the presentation. Chair, as colleagues have said, your answers about the political and management situation in the city have not been answered. And I want to expand on that because it seems that the municipal manager position in Nelson Mandela Bay has been vacant municipal manager has been on suspension, it seems, since September 2018, which is a very long time. And you know, if that is not correct, I'm open to correction. But that's what the situation seems to be. Then secondly, there's reference to an acting mayor or an acting executive mayor, which, you know, if the mayor was on sick leave or was on holiday or was, you know, not able to attend to duties, you can understand that reference of an acting mayor. But in the context of the mayor having been removed in December, there is no such thing in law as an acting mayor. Either a municipality has a mayor or it doesn't have a mayor. If it doesn't have a mayor, it can also not have a mayoral committee. And so I think this is probably the reason there's been some media reports of concern being raised with minister, the national minister, and perhaps she can give us an indication of whether indeed she is looking into the problem and what the progress is in speaking to the Eastern Cape provincial government. Chair, lastly, and this is really central to...
And in order to timely and efficiently provide appropriate solution to the problem encountered by your municipality, what innovative way that you are going to put in place in making sure that effective professionalization in our municipal administration are taking place with good governance support measures? What is your response on this question? And also the issue of
thank you, Mr. President. Thank you for the presentation from the Metro Nelson Mandela Bay. Chair, my question is, I have four questions in the Metro, in the acting mayor of the Nelson Mandela Bay. The number one of my question, in the presentation, you say in COVID-19 is the most in poorest areas of the city. What? What are the measures contributing better to this? Number two, what has the city been doing to try to control the first spreading of COVID-19 in this in this area? Number three, in the 231 million of the new SDG, how much was prioritized to respond to COVID-19? Number four, the correction rate has lowered to 84%. What impact will this have on savings individually and municipality programs? Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay. Thank you. From my side, Tim Nelson Mandela Bay, issues that I want to raise is to say then there are two things that I think would like from this report of yours. Number one is that the disaster management seems to be leading and providing the vision. Secondly, the municipality has developed an economic recovery plan from the COVID-19 disaster. That's another good thing. I'll say this because it's lacking in a number of municipalities, and those might miss the opportunity of bouncing forward out of the COVID-19 challenge. Well done, Nelson Mandela Metropolitan Institution. however, not clear whether a physical COVID-19 response manually exists. Maybe perhaps you can share these details on whether it was approved and also funded. The other thing that I've seen and observed, you are reported as one of the poorest spenders on the disaster grant due to your internal business processes, and you always push national for yourself to be declared a disaster area. You know that you have been declared a drought disaster in April. On top of this national disaster. But then the problems are more of governance, of terrorist risk management, and then the other issue is that you know that you were given 233 million for drugs, but then the spending is a challenge. Can you take us to confidence as to why are we in this current state of affairs? Over to you, Kandela Buyeye and Tim. You can share the question with the team that you brought along. Yes.
Before that, Chairperson.
Over to you, Kandela Buyeye.
No. Can I go, Chairperson?
Yes.
No, thank you very much, Chairperson. And let's welcome.
Can you mute your mic, please?
First of all, let's welcome all the questions, concerns raised, and take the opportunity to try and clarify some of the issues that have been raised. But then also, Chairperson, with your indulgence, also to say some of the questions that have been asked by the committee would require us that maybe we forward you with some of the information for the committee to satisfy itself. Well, some of the questions like the spreading, how did we distribute the list of when it comes to chemical toilets, the shelter tanks and the areas, all of that. That information is available, even though we might not have it at the present moment, but it's information that we can make it available as a matter of urgency for the committee to have and know the distribution of all these things that have been asked by the committee. But maybe from my side, I will allow the colleagues a part of the delegation from the Metro to chip in. We have the COO who's here. We have the Chief Financial Officer is also here. They will clarify some of the issues that have been raised. And politically, the MMC of Finance is in the meeting, as well as the MMC of Infrastructure and Engineering. But maybe if I may answer the question that deals with the issue of the mayor, Chairperson, the fact that is a known fact that we do not have an elected executive mayor since the removal of the then mayor in December the 5th. But what we have is an elected deputy executive mayor, which is why I'm sitting in this meeting in an acting capacity. Section 56(6) of the Municipal Structures Act provides or gives the deputy mayor the powers to exercise all the functions of the executive mayor if the mayor is absent or the mayor is not at work or if the position is vacant, as is the case in our metro. Our metro, the vacancy of the position of the executive mayor is vacant. We do have an elected by council deputy executive mayor who is performing performing those functions in terms of the act, as I've quoted, that is Section 56C of the Municipal Structures Act does give those powers. So we don't might understand. I think the legality part of it, I don't think is an issue. But Honorable Khalif is correct, maybe when you say it might interfere with the effective governance or running of an office. Well, when you are in an acting position, there are things that you think you are not sure whether you must do, or that's why it's always encouraged that a person must be appointed or must be elected in a position, not in an acting capacity. And as the city, we have since we've been listening, and we have listened to the calls of saying, let's deal with this matter once and for all, the issue of the mayor. And I think we have been in agreement. We are in agreement as the governing coalition in the city to say, let's finalize this, the issue of the mayor, before the end of June. So this is a matter that we are taking seriously. It's taken us long, because when it was done, the entire council agreed that when it's necessary, the council will decide as to when to elect the mayor. So the matter did come forward. I think the first time it came, it was around March. So since December, no one said, let's elect the mayor. We were happy with what was happening. But in March, then first came the first motion to say, let's elect the mayor. But it came through as a motion which was that it could not carry, because the meeting could not correct in terms of the rules of council. And then after that, we had a national disaster declared by the president. And that is when we were never sure as to how to hold the meeting. So all along, it's something that we are sure is going to be resolved. Let's say this coming week, the city will elect a mayor, and this issue will hopefully will be resolved at Chairperson. And if I may just hand over to my team, just to take other questions through. And as I've said, the information that we cannot provide now, as a result of it, that it needs to be consolidated and sent to your office chair. That will be, we will do, even if it means tomorrow morning. That is an information that we have, but we might not have it currently as we're sitting in this meeting. Thank you very much, Chairperson. I hand over to my colleague.
Yeah. Who's starting? MMC Longisa or MMC Mpina?
No, thank you very much, Chair. I will come in. Comrade Andile Lungisa. Can you hear me, Chair?
We don't deal with comrades here, we deal with councillors.
Yeah. No, sorry, Chair.
The full member.
Yes. Yes, no, I will start. I think the acting mayor has clarified the point. It was what had been raised publicly, also by those who are sitting in the opposition benches in Nelson Mandela Metro. It has been more of a feeling, not a law. It was the Municipal Structures Act, Chapter 4, as clarified by the mayor. It's very clear. I will try and read it verbatim, Comrade Chair. That chapter says, when it deals with the internal structures and functionaries, it says, the deputy executive mayor of a municipality exercises the powers and performs the duties of the executive mayor. If the executive mayor is absent, or not available, or not if the office of the executive mayor is vacant. It further says, if the executive mayor is absent or not available, and the municipality does not have a deputy executive mayor, or the deputy executive mayor is also absent or not available, the council must elect an ordinary councillor to be an acting mayor. That part says, well, I think we must correct the letter which was written by the councillor in the municipality, which was written to the Minister of Culture. In terms of law, that letter was misplaced. Was the council any piece of legislation? You must remember, even in Cape Town, when the DA fired Minister Delil, a deputy executive mayor assumed all the responsibility. In Nelson Mandela method by signing what was called a tripartite agreement between national government, provincial government, and the local government. Also, in, where the HDA was also included as an implementation agent. That agreement came to end last year before the national government election. What we've been engaging on, our request, even the letter which we've written to the MEC, which later were also returned to the minister. We are requesting the minister, the MEC, also with the local political leadership in the Mandela matter, able to resolve the issue of housing. Well, it would be better if we can be able to share the function, or the whole function can be returned back to the municipality. Well, there's a history on the issue of housing. When the municipality was the implementation agent, each and every year, municipality used to build close to 5,000 houses. As we speak, since the agreement was signed, we cannot even in Nelson Mandela matter. It will be a deep number. That's the challenge. As the political leadership, we are engaging on that matter. We are saying it must be resolved. The local municipality must be given that function back to be able to perform, to be able to build houses. We'll be engaging with the national leadership and the provincial leadership to make sure that we find one another on the question of housing. Because really, the communities, they engage the local municipality, they question the local municipality. They do not go to the province. They do not go to national. They will see the municipality as a failure. While in terms of laws, that function does not belong to the municipality. A municipality gets appointed, it gets given a status as a developer. It's what we'll be engaging to be able to say, we are requesting the municipality to be able to play a maximum role. Let me go to the, also to the question of the acting city manager, Our responsibility as a municipality, we must follow all pieces of legislation. On the 5th of December, when the mayor was removed, that meeting appointed a municipal manager, which is the first 3 months of the municipal manager, lapsed in March. And then we then requested the MEC to give us an extension so the municipal manager can the acting city manager can act another 3 months, which the term of office ended on the 28th of May. Now, through the same law, you cannot extend the term of an acting city manager more than 6 months. That is why we have appointed the current acting city manager. The current acting city manager, you must remember, Nelson Mandela Municipality is working closely with National Treasury. We must be able to respect all the regulations which are issued by the National Treasury, especially when it comes to the Nelson Mandela Municipality. The current acting city manager meets the requirement in terms of senior managers in the municipality, is the acting ED of Human Settlement, is the only person who's got the requirements which are needed by the National Treasury. I'm simply saying our responsibility is to make sure that we don't violate the law. When we select a person who must be able to act, he must meet the regulation
he must be able to meet the requirement. That's the current case. The current acting city manager meets the requirement. I think on other issues, I'll give space for our colleagues, but let me make just one point. Yes, on the question of COVID-19, the municipality have moved beyond its own mandate. If you visit Nelson Mandela Metro, there's a field hospital at the stadium. That field hospital has been handed over to the Department of Health because we're working closer with the Department of Health. The municipality is providing all the logistics to make sure that people of this area, they get service, they are looked after. Even informal settlements, they've been assisted with sanitizers, they've been assisted with masks, they've been assisted with soap to make sure that they wash their hands on a daily basis. Let me end there for now. Thank you very much, Chair.
Yes, I want to add. No, where I will add is on the issue of the housing function. We've been raising and engaging the provincial government to return that function back to the municipality, because other metros, in our understanding, have that function and they are building houses. But in our case, it seems as if it's a problem. Maybe because of it's a blessing in disguise that we have met you as a committee, maybe you will engage or you will intervene on our behalf on this matter, because we really need that service in this matter. But where I wanted to go to specifically was on the issue of budget and under collection. Yes, our target for this...
Hello? And
then
if you do that, also answer the question on
high tariff increases. Yes, no, I will go there. I've read all those questions. No, I've read all those questions. Yes, no, on high tariffs.
And sorry, Chair. Okay. And also I'm sorry, Councillor. On the unforeseeable and unavoidable expenditure, please, can you
explain on that unavoidable expenditure? What does that mean?
Yes, the Municipal Finance Management Act, number 60 of 2003, where it says it speaks about to defray the unforeseeable and unavoidable expenditure.
Yeah.
Authorized in terms of Section 29(1). What unforeseeable and unavoidable expenditure have you made by the municipality during COVID-19? What reasons have this expenditure been made for? How much was the expenditure?
Now I want to then to venture on tariff increase and so on. On that one, we must understand that the framework or the fiscal framework of the local states is regulated by many bodies. And in this instance, you have got your South African local government bargaining council, which actually regulates the salary increase of workers in respective municipalities. You've got also Department of Water Affairs that actually regulate on how much the tariffs should increase on the issue of water, same as NERSA, you know. So those tariffs at times, they are not within our control. How they rise or how they decrease, It's not within our own hands. We are controlled by other bodies in relation to that one. But what then becomes important on the property rates, tariffs, for instance, the budget. Let me go to the budget. It's very important to note that the budget, before it is passed, it has to be credible and it has to be funded. And what we mean by that, it means at least we should have cash back. And in our case, we have 3.1 billion. When you take into consideration of your cash inflows and your cash outflow, we have cashback of 3.1 billion. And in our case, cost reflective tariffs means that we have already made commitments to our people in terms of service delivery in our metro. If you have been observing of late, our input cost in terms of water bulk purchase and electricity bulk purchase have been increasing. Another matter is that workers within the municipalities are depending on the property tariffs to be financed or to be paid. And the other projects within our municipality, like your IPTS projects and the Metro Police Service, which is funded by this property rates. You've got also the matter that as a municipality recently that we have undergone as a metro, where we have insourced more than 682 security workers that were outsourced before. So those tariffs, we have increased them so as to sometimes to catch up with the cost of those inputs that we have to make, you know. So that's an issue with the tariff. So we have to fund our commitments, we have to pay the workers, we have to make sure that we have maintained our infrastructure, we are doing all those things. So property rates does fund some of those projects. And we have already made commitments to our people in as far as that concerns. So tariff increase are cost reflective. They reflect those costs of the essential services in terms of service delivery that we have to fund. So in as far as that concern, we are very clear that we have tried to balance and we have made sure that we have tariffs that are cost reflective as national treasury in terms of its benchmark will require us to do. So we have done just that, and we believe our budget as it stands, our draft budget as it stands, it will pass the test of time in terms of its credibility and in terms of the fact that it is funded. So in as far as a tariff are concerned, we have made our work there, and we are very sure of what we have done. On the question of under collection, we do agree that we had a target there. In fact, Section 18, Roman Figure 1 of the MFMA, does spell out that your revenue targets must be realistic and must be achievable. Yes, yes.
Yes.
Yo, yeah. Hello?
Your video on. You seem not to have.
Oh, okay. Can I put my video on? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Now, in terms of revenue collection, as I have said, we have to quote the MFMA there in terms of Section 18, Roman Figure 1. Where it said that at least targets for revenue collection must be achievable, you know, and they must be realistic. And in our case, due to COVID, the context of COVID, as we were collecting around, we have took a deep dig during the month of April and May, where we were under this disaster management or under COVID, as you can put it. So we have moved from We have under-collected from 94 to 84%. And what does that mean? For every percentage that we are losing on collection, in our case, we are losing 84 million. So overall, we have lost almost 840 million for revenue collection. Hence, we have decided in this financial year, 2020-2021, to come up with new targets. Targets that will be achievable and targets that will be realistic so that we don't have this shortfall in terms of revenue collection. So what we have did, we have set our revenue target for 88% for this coming financial year. Depending on what we do during the adjustment budget, if things improve, we'll see what we do in terms of resetting those targets. So that's what is happening. So that under collection, by the way, have affected our expenditure big time. Because what we have to do, we have to make sure that our revenue that we collect does balance with our expenditure. And if you have a shortfall of 840 million, then you have to make changes. You have to make sure that there are things you cut in the budget so that you remain with essential services that you are going to spend on in the budget. And in this case, we have made sure that there is an entity called MBDA. We are going to take grants there from that entity for the next financial year or the third, the 3 months years that are coming, the money of 13 million, 14 million, and 17 million in the third financial year. Another thing that we do, we are cutting on expenditure in as far as transportation costs is concerned, because what COVID have actually taught us is that we can innovate, we can be creative in terms of the way we are holding our meetings. Now we are using virtual meetings, so there will be no need of transportation and other things. So we have cut cost of transport very much. We have made sure there are no workshops now where our staff in the municipality are going to use transport and so on and so on. So we are moving that fiscal part. I mean, fiscal prudence, if I can put it that way. Another matter that we have done, we have thought that this, we have international travel from time to time, but in most cases, we don't see value for this international travel. So we have put and reduced our international travel cost for this financial year 2020-2021 to zero budget. That's what we have done. And we have also made sure that issues like IPTS, especially our property rates that we fund with, we are going to make sure that when we find IPTS, we are funding the routes of the IPTS in Clary Park, Utnick, and other places. We are going to make sure that we only spend where we see we are going to have value for the return in our money and so on. So that's what we are going to do. So even there, we have said IPTS must make sure that we cut the cost. We make it a point that at least those routes that are there, we spend much money to them, and they are effective, productive, and working for our cities. So that's what we have done. So we have tried to balance out this expenditure of 840 million that we have lost because of this shortcoming in terms of our revenue collection. That's another matter that we have doing in as far as finances are concerned. I'm not sure whether I'm still on track in terms of answering some of the questions. Another thing we should have came very strongly is an issue of the fact that you are in COVID-19, by the way, and people are losing jobs. What then become the posture? What then become the interventions of the municipality in relation to that? We have come up with what is called, it's something that we have passed on this in the last council meeting on Monday, an issue of payment relief. And we are saying on that payment relief, in fact, as the background to this one, Circular 99 of National Treasury did dictate to us that we need to make sure whatever intervention we make, it should be within the framework of our policies. In this case, you have Municipality Property Rate Act, and we've got other things that are within that Municipal Property Rate Act. But what we have to do in a nutshell there, we have said, okay, if during the COVID, people were not paying, we have seen that, we have seen those trends during the lockdown. We have said, if you were owing, for instance, 2,000 rand, you are owing 2,000, and that 2,000 rand you are supposed to pay perhaps 1,000 rand, or let us say you pay that 2,000 rand in that 1 month. We have yours, where you pay that money. And we have said, interest are not going to be charged to all our people during this COVID. You are going to pay, and there is no need of what is called a down payment. In the municipality, when you pay, you need to pay, when you pay your debt, you need your down payment first, and then you pay the other bills after that. We have said there's no need of down payment. What we are going to do, we are going to extend that 1 month to 3 months so that you pay that 2,000 for the next 3 months. We have done that to businesses. We have done that to public benefits organization. Also in our municipality, we've got the police, which is called the HDP, which is, by the way, largest in the country. And if they've got many beneficiaries that are over 90,000. In that policy, we are very clear. If your household income, if you there are certain members of that particular family staying in a household, if they are three and their income as an aggregate, is not above 3,400, meaning the social pension for two individuals. We are saying you don't need to pay. You don't need to pay your electricity. You don't need to pay your water. What we are going to do as a municipality, we are going to make sure that we subsidize you with everything. We are going to pay nothing in relation to that. We are saying also, in this COVID, if businesses are losing, and we have got the mean test and we've got the proof that they are losing money, we can see in their accounts, we can see in their banks that they are really losing. We are saying those public benefit organizations, guys, you can also apply for HTP so that we can consider you up until such time your financial situation is right. Same as business. What we are saying to business, we can extend your payment period from 6 months, maybe to 12 months, depending on the amount that we are paying. So we've got those type of interventions that we want to ensure that our people, at least those who have suffered as a result of COVID and they are unemployed, they at least there is a relief to them. So we have done that in relation to the payment relief. We have intervened as a municipality in terms of doing that. So those are the issues as a municipality that we have so far taken care of in terms of the payment relief. I don't know whether there are other questions that are very critical that I must answer.
On the payment of expenditure is raised by Honorable Seza. And in the best place, if it's not you, let the CFO then answer that.
Yeah, I'll answer that one. Yes, okay. Let the CFO
answer that one. Yes, because it's a bit technical, but
yes.
You should provide leadership on that one. Mr. Faith, you and the CFO, can you respond to that?
Yes. Yeah. Good evening, Chair. Can you hear me? Yeah. I mean, good evening, Chair. Good evening, I think, to the members. I will try and cover the...
The members want to see you.
You want to see me?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, Chair. I will deal with some of the... Can I continue, Chair?
Yes, proceed.
Yeah, I think Chair, in terms of the question around the outstanding government debt as owed by the different government departments, the amount that's outstanding at the end of May is 189 million. And I'm just going to highlight some of the departments in terms of what are the biggest outstanding amounts in terms of the outstanding arrears. If you look at the provincial government departments, the Department of Health owes the municipality an amount of roughly 32.7 million. The other big amount for provincial government departments is human settlements, 12.4 million. And the other two big amounts is Department of Public Works, 7.4 million. Pension, 38 million. Those are the big outstanding amounts in terms of the provincial government departments. Then in terms of national, a big amount is outstanding of about so the National Department of Public Works. So that is the breakdown in terms of the amounts owed by the different departments that owe the municipality for property rates and service charges. The other question, Chair, was around the impact of freezing vacancies. As explained by the MMC for Finance, in view of the current collection trends, we were forced into a situation of revisiting the expenditure side of the budget to make sure that we align that to the available financial resources. So what we've done is we've made a significant sacrifice in terms of the salary and wage bill of the municipality. That is also important from a perspective of containing that expenditure component, I think, of the budget. And the plan is, in terms of the amount that is still available for filling critical vacancies, that will be prioritized in terms of service delivery areas. So that's how we will deal, I think, with that particular issue. But that reduction in that component of the budget was quite necessary to make sure that we align our spending patterns with the available financial resources. The other issue, just broadly, Chair, around the budget, the draft IDP on the 15th of June, National Treasury has arranged a what is called a budget benchmark session on this coming Monday, the 22nd. And the purpose of that session is to obviously assess the credibility of our budget and indeed whether the budget is cash-backed and funded. Purpose of that assessment is to make sure that the budget is underpinned by the required financial resources firstly, and that as an institution, we will be able to implement that budget. So that session happens on Monday, and that assessment will then feed into the tabling of the final draft IDP and budget to council before the end of June to make sure that we comply with the legislative requirements. Chair, there was also a question around the outstanding grants. Now, when the council adopted the adjustment budget at the end of February, National Treasury forwarded correspondence to the municipality at the time in terms of complying with a number of conditions to get our last tranches of the equitable share. The amount owing there is 255.4 million. The Urban Settlements Development Grant, 390.3 million. The Public Transport Network Operational Grant is 98.2 million. And then the Neighborhood Development Partnership Grant, 10 million. So the combined sum of those outstanding grants is an amount of 753.8 million. Now, Chair, the relevance of that issue is that as an institution, we need that money. So what happened was National Treasury directed correspondence to the municipality towards sometime during the month of February, and they set a number of conditions before those grants will be released, I think, to the municipality. And those conditions essentially centered around, I think, three critical areas. The one area was the stabilization of the senior management team. Appointing a CFO was one of those conditions. And then filling senior management vacancies. So about five vacancies was filled in the council meeting. It was held in December. So that was largely complied with. The other condition was the report on progress in terms of the forensic investigation around the IPTS program and the progress, I think, in that particular regard. So the municipality has forwarded a progress report to National Treasury, I think, in the past week in terms of the latest status update on that issue. And then the third issue was decisions taken by the council previously, which has significant financial implications, like, for instance, the insourcing security guard as one example, where at the time when the council took that particular decision, the full financial implications was not in front of the council when that deliberations happened at the time. And what National Treasury directed was that the council needs to regularize those decisions, which came as motions of exigency. So the council accepted all of those conditions, and the adjustments budget was passed at the end of February, and we have reported, I think, that back to National Treasury. Our information, Chair, was that the officials in National Treasury has made a submission to the Minister of Finance to then sign off the release of the grant, I think, to the municipality, because we are of the view that we have complied substantively with the conditions, I think, as imposed, I think, by National Treasury. And the importance of getting that money into our bank account, I think, before the end of June is quite critical, because there are service delivery programs linked to that grant funding stream. If that does not happen, it would imply that for the forthcoming financial year, we'll have to make further serious cuts and realignment and reductions in terms of our service delivery program as an institution, and that will have significant implications both on the finances of the municipality as well as its ability to deliver services to the residents. So that is the issue, Chair, on the outstanding grants. Then the question asked by the member that raised the issue around unforeseen and unavoidable expenditure. Chair, obviously at the time when the municipality adopted the adjustments budget at the end of February, at that stage, no municipality would have anticipated COVID and would not have budgeted for COVID-related expenditure. So what happened was, in discussions and engagements with National Treasury, the metropolitan municipalities approached National Treasury to allow flexibility in terms of reprioritizing part of the urban settlements development grant as a financial package to then support the COVID response plans of the different metropolitan municipalities. So the approach there was that the municipalities had to indicate what are some of the projects that could be delayed to then redirect that funding to then support the municipality's response plan in terms of COVID. And that was the amount that Mr. Brown referred to earlier, the amount of 231 million. Now that amount, Chair, is cut across a number of different activities. I will just highlight some of the big amounts. The one amount was 96.7 million, and that was for the provision of temporary housing structures to de-densify densely populated human settlements as an initiative to combat the spread of the virus and the disease. The other one was for the provision of chemical toilets in the amount of 26.5 million. Another big amount was for water standpipes and toilets, 25 million. Then for personal protective clothing, 20 million. The other big amount was for water standpipes and for the installation of water tanks, 35 million. And then an amount of 15 million for the sanitization of informal areas, public spaces, and municipal facilities. So that is the breakdown of the amount of 231 million. We were then requested by National Treasury to obviously pass now a special adjustments budget to then reflect both the redirection of the USDG to respond to the COVID response plan and bring in that revenue as well as the expenditure. And that special adjustment budget will be tabled when the council, I think, sits again. I think it's either on the 25th or the 26th of this month, in terms of adopting the special adjustments budget to deal with the response to COVID, as well as reflecting the reductions in our revenue collection rates. And to give the members some sense when the impact of COVID on our finances as an institution, when the council tabled the adjustments budget, the first one at the end of February, we were anticipating a cash position at the end of this month of about just over 3 billion. In terms of the special adjustments budget that we are tabling in the next week or so, we are predicting that the cash will be around about 2.6, the deterioration of, I think, 400 million. So what happened was we revisited other expenditure components in the budget, like personnel costs, contracted services, and we made further reductions where no expenditure had incurred or very limited expenditure had been incurred. So in that way, we were able to cushion the impact of the reduction in the collection rate, and that net effect on our cash position at the end of June would be around about 400 million. From 3 billion as projected as an institution. Then the one member asked the question, what is the impact of the decline collection rate, I think on server delivery. If we look at the capital budget, there is obviously the main instrument of service delivery, and the just of capital for the municipality for the year under review is 1.6 billion. The proposed adjustments budget, sorry, the proposed budget for the new financial year is in the same amount. So that is more or less maintained in terms of service delivery. But in year two and year three, which is basically the financial years 2021-22 and 2022-23, we notice a sharp decline, that it drops from 1.6 billion in 2021. Down to 1.3 and 1.3 in the next two financial years. And that is mainly linked to a sharp decline in the urban settlements development grant in year two and three of the three-year budget program of the municipality. I think I'll stop there, but I'll try to cover some of the questions to complement the input from the MNC for Finance. And that's the final point, Chair, that the one member raised, I think it was Member Brink, in terms of the projected under collection of revenue for 2021. I just need to rectify, Chair, that figure would be in the order of about 1.2 billion for the forthcoming financial year, not 2.6, as well as if
Good evening, members of the portfolio of Compton. Chair, I will just start with the question that when was the last council meeting that Courageous? Chair, if I may, we have our first council since COVID-19 on the 5th of June, which didn't Courageous, which we were supposed to note the ICT and budget. And then our second attempt, Chairperson, was on the 15th of June, wherein we are to note again the ICT and budget and also the status quo of the adjustment budget for COVID-19, of which our meeting of the 15th of June was a success, Chair, because we had a quorum of 61 councillors, of which in the case of Nelson Mandela Bay municipality, 120 councillors, which the majority is 50 plus 1, 61 councillors. We had the quorum, so the last council meeting which we had a quorum was on the 15th of June, which is Monday, Chairperson. Thank you. I will give over to the executive
Thank
mayor.
You. I'm the chair, speaker, don't worry. I've done the measure. I'll hand over to
Councillor Longisa,
then the executive mayor will also give
his decision. Councillor Longisa? No, thank you very much, Chair. On the question of the suspended city manager, the report is completed. It was tabled in the council meeting of February. The sitting government was then defeated, but it's going to be tabled again in the next council meeting of the 24th of June, where a settlement between the two parties is going to be tabled. The matter will be closed. It's going to be tabled in the next council meeting.
Okay. Executive Mayor?
No, thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, we hope that this matter of the city manager will be finalized in the next council meeting. As the colleagues have said, both legal teams have met and the legal teams are in agreement. It's just a matter of council agreeing to what is the proposed way forward on the matter. So we're hoping that this coming week, this matter will be finalized. If I may, Chairperson, the around the 231 that the member is referring to, if I remember correctly, that money is the money that was meant as a draft for the drought intervention. I think they want to put it on record, Chair, that the money, there were delays around the matter, the spending of it, as there were complaints and objections to the awarded contractor, and that took some time for it to be settled because the matter was being challenged and it was in court. The matter has since been resolved, and currently the contractor is on site, and so the entire money has been committed to a project, so the money will be spent. In terms of the Lando, because I was listening to, I think it was you, Chairperson, who said
yes.
We are known as the poor spenders. But contrary to that, we've been receiving windfalls, if I may use that term, for good performance in terms of spending. So we've been getting a lot of money for spending our USDG. And the issue, Chairperson, of protest in Kwanobuhle, that was raised also by the member. On every Wednesday, we have the Metro's Command Council, where we meet and then we discuss issues. This matter was raised in that meeting, and we agreed that we should not let the matter of Department of Health solely to the department. There must be a committee that was agreed upon to be headed by an executive mayor together with a member of parliament because we have a forum also that we constantly brief in the city, a meeting that sits every Thursday with all the MPs and MPLs who are residents in the city. So we brief them about what is happening in the city around the COVID. So in that meeting, we agreed that a representative from that forum, preferably the coordinator of the MPs and MPLs who are residents in the city, or a member seconded to the Metro Command Council by EXCO of the legislature, one of them to form part, including a senior member of Department of Health and somebody from the business community, to form part and attack all these problems that keep on rising around the health department, where we have people stopping or closing the institutions. We've been told that the CEOs, CFOs are resigning as a result of the unions that are putting pressure on them. So we've agreed that it must be our problem, no longer the problem of Department of Health, because our people are suffering at the end of the day. And there was also an issue around somebody who went lost at the stadium, a patient that was at the stadium, and for some reason the person has not been seen. Yes, we can confirm that matter is true. The stadium and the city were handed over to the Department of Health. We made it ready, and we gave to them to say, this is the stadium, this is where we want to quarantine or isolate the people of the city, but you are in charge of it. And when we received this, we went back to them and asked them, how did it happen? But the person has not yet been found. We've spoken to the police, we've spoken to the department. The person has not yet been found, but the police are aware, they are looking for him. What then, what do we do? How do we make sure that that does not reoccur? So we make sure that no patient leaves the facility without a discharge letter. So that one we'll make sure. We've sat down with the department, we've sat down with the security company that is on site to make sure that they are properly trained in making sure that whoever, even if the person looks like he's recovered, if he was a patient, he must be accompanied by a health an official to the security to say this person has been discharged. So we think we should be fine in that one going forward, Chairperson. I think I'm not sure if there are other issues that we have not yet covered, Chair. Thank you very much.
You will hear from the members.
Yeah, the issue of the coffee, Honorable
Chair. Who else has a follow-up question?
Yes, Chair.
Okay. Yeah, can you please deal with the question of Honorable Henry? Doesn't look like it's a follow-up question.
Yes.
It was said there is a wall to prevent flooding in storage will harm the residents. What plans does the municipality have to clear the dam of fuel so that the dam can serve its real purpose to store water? That question was not answered, Councilor Lungisa.
Can I come in, Chair?
Sure.
Chairperson, I think if we could get all the details around the matter, because we are not sure what the member is talking about in around costing and dams and the sewer issue. We would love to follow this one up and make sure that it's attended to as a matter of urgency, because we are not sure exactly. Maybe it might be an isolated incident, but there are no dams around costing that we are aware of, but we would love to get more information so that we can address the matter and then come back to the member that to report back on the matter. But we are not really sure as to what, where, or what exactly we are talking about. But we know about the area called Kambi. We are aware of that, of the area. But we are not well aware of what the member is raising around Kambi.
Okay, I think that details can be submitted to the committee and then forwarded to you so that you respond to that detail in writing. It's okay. Honorable Mam Kiza.
Thank you, Chair. I think the advertisement may have been answered me because it was around to the issue of 231 million.
Okay.
Thank you, ma'am.
Honorable,
thank you very much, Chairperson of the committee. Look, Chairperson, we welcome the exhausting of security guards. They were clear on that. What we do not understand is the fact that, you know, a horn as an instrument, I'm from a background of jazz, a horn as an instrument, Chair, is a very complex instrument to play. It requires you to practice it. It requires the environment, it requires the study, it requires the theory, it requires the discipline, it requires many, many other aspects to master it. And to say that, I think that perhaps here in politics, then we tend to posture through these things and self-praise, you know, because when we go to the ground, the kind of report that we're getting here is that, Chairperson, everything has been done with regards to the PPEs in formal settlements, but how that is done is not said, you know, and I mean, Chairperson, the driving force and driving motive of COVID-19 infections there, Nelson Mandela Bay, is in retail shop, is in the retail sector, the funeral and provincial hospital. And in terms of how they must be seen to mitigate this, to stop the spread of COVID-19 there. With the result that in Motherwell there are 79 cases followed by Duesi and 52 cases and often, you know, Motherwell, you know, there's not seem to be preventive measures to prevent the escalation of numbers of cases in the Shoprite in Kwadwesi. Check out the Newton Park and Woolworths in Walmart, and what are how are those things going to be dealt with? Those are the things, and perhaps here, Chair, I am bringing about issues that are community related and that are touching the community directly, because and also issues that require the municipality to go back and bring back those details. And if I'm doing that, I would think that next time they would have to bring about those details in that fashion. And because some of the things that are in the immediate are in the vulnerability of the community of Hanke. You know, and the health issues relating to inadequate and proper procurement processes of those PPEs that they should bring. Maybe in the next meeting, since they do not have the necessary details there. Thank you, Chairperson. I think that those are my follow-up questions for now. Thank you.
Honorable Adele.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I think I asked a question in relation to Well, first, let me say I welcome emphasis on the legislation that governs municipality, especially when it relates to the Structures Act.
Can you hear him? Colleague from the Metro? Can you hear him?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Are you struggling to hear me? Chairperson? Honorable Chair? Oh, okay. Thanks, Chair. No, I was saying we welcome the explanation in relation to the Municipal Structures Act. My questions were based precisely on the Structures Act. Hence, I asked the status of the current mayoral committee member. Before I proceed, Chair, because my follow-up will be based on the response provided by the acting mayor in terms of the status of the mayor, whether...
Can you hear him
or only me? We can hear him clearly, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, it seems as if, Chair, there's a problem on your side, but other colleagues are saying they can hear me properly. Chair?
Proceed.
Thank you. Okay. No, thanks.
Proceed. I can hear you.
Acting Mayor, the question that I wanted to pose, which will inform my follow-up question, is in relation to the status of the MAECO, whether or not the current MAECO was appointed by your good self.
Thank you very much.
No, Chair, I was saying the follow-up will be dependent on the response of the question that I asked previously. If you permit me, Chair, to first give
Finish
up,
and then you come back. You can come back.
Chair? I'm saying the follow-up will be...
Chair, I'll continue. The
the problem that they'll need to explain to residents is how do you raise rates if you expect a dip in collections? It just makes no sense. You're not going to fill the hole in that way, especially with the sort of excessive increases that we've seen. Then, Chair, I welcome the answer given by the Deputy Mayor. I didn't realize that he is the Deputy Mayor. And hopefully by the next time the city presents to this committee, they would have elected a permanent mayor, especially given that surely a deputy mayor can't be in an acting position for more than 6 months. Thank you.
Okay. Mukali, do you want to say something? Honorable Mukali,
I think the audio was the late response when you asked if I'm audible or not. So,
So, Honorable Bridges just finished. Can I hand it over to you, Executive Mayor, to respond to the questions at risk? And then, over to you.
No, thank you very much, Chairperson. As earlier said, as I did mention earlier, that the deputy mayor, in the absence of the mayor, exercises the powers and performs the duties, of which part of is to elect or is to appoint a mayor. So when the then a mayor was removed, he left with his mayor. A new mayor was appointed by the acting mayor, so that is why they are members of the mayoral committee. They all have they were appointed by the current acting mayor. I'm not sure if that is clear enough for our chairperson.
It's clear. Proceed.
I'm not sure if there's another.
Maybe Chair can come to other questions, follow-ups which were raised by Honorable Mazda.
Yes, proceed.
No, thank you very much. Honorable Mazda spoke about jazz musicians. If he talks about Nelson Mandela Bay, the home of jazz, he will know to Pukwan, Sizwe Zako, Patrick Lindo, Patrick Pasha, Sol Jasmine, Paul Bryan, Bomwani Tukwan, they all come from Nelson Mandela Metro. Those are Polish jazz musicians, the home of jazz. If you talk about the Peggy Fingers. But let me go to the issue of the PTEs, which he has raised again. I think we did make a point that all the informal settlements, especially the area of Matawele, if you talk about Kwanobonjani, Nomakanjani, you talk about Asnavano, you talk about the Elephant Park, you talk about Ramaphosa, you talk about Winnie Mandela, all those areas.
Yes, proceed and conclude.
Yeah, the acting executive mayor, including ourselves, who visited those areas, who have provided PPEs, who have even locked down Motherwell, including Kwadwesi. The leadership is working in all the areas in making sure that our people, they are attended. Thank you very much.
Okay. Kalipi, what's the issue? Honorable Kalipi? Fine, let's proceed. The deputy ministers, there were those that were asked to be excused earlier.
Chair, I was taking over. I don't have a network problem, so I imitated you. No, Chairperson, I'm fine.
Okay. welcome back. Somebody say they are both don't know, but never.
Chair, I'm fine.
Okay. Then I was trying to say that the deputy minister has asked the truth earlier. Can I hand over to the minister to have some few words in relation to all the issues that were raised? There were also questions that were raised directly to the minister by Honorable Spring. And any other matters that the minister would love to raise in relation to this matter? Over to you, Minister.
Thank you very much, Chair. I will first ask Mr. Dow to respond to some of the questions and Mr. Fosi, then I'll come at the end. Thank you.
Okay. Dr. Dow?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Good evening to the Chair, Honorable Members, Minister, Deputy Ministers, and the leadership of Nelson Mandela Metro Municipality. Yes, my name is Mapaka Tau, Head of the National Disaster Management Center. I'll touch on matters relating to drought management, as it pertains to Nelson Mandela Bay, but also reflect on some general considerations that would like to deposit for consideration by the leadership as they continue grappling with the issue of drought and water scarcity, particularly Nelson Mandela Bay. The first thing that I want to mention, Chair and Honorable Members, is that dealing with drought, based on our experience with areas such as Nelson Mandela, should be approached not as an emergency, but it should be approached as a developmental issue that must be dealt with through an integrated approach. And by the integrated approach, we mean what we call the drought risk nexus. The drought risk nexus requires that you look at drought in terms of three aspects. The first issue is the engineering solutions to dealing with drought. By engineering solutions, as you would agree, we refer to issues around your infrastructure. The extent to which your infrastructure is able to ensure preservation and of water, the limited water we have, and that leakages are minimized if not eradicated. The second part of the nexus is the ecological considerations. This is about ensuring that your wetlands, riparian areas, your catchments are well maintained in order to continue releasing sufficient water for the needs of our community and the farming sector. That means the degradation of wetlands and riparian zones should also be part of a suite of measures that you put in place. The third one is water demand management aspects. This is very critical. As population increase, the demand for water increases, the extent to which you are able to take account of the resource that is finite in nature. How do you make sure that the demand and supply aspects are balanced? So every municipality must make sure that there are clear plans that bring together these three dimensions. It is against this backdrop that we always encourage sector departments, provinces and municipalities to have integrated drought management plans. And this is a question that, Chair, we will like to pose to the leadership to ensure that such a plan is in place and is not focused on emergency response to drought. It's focused on, you know, adapting to the reality that we face. The second aspect, of course, is water services, master plan, infrastructure master plans. Bringing all this together enable you to manage this scarce resource. So on the issue of our operational experiences, it has already been acknowledged that there's an amount of 233 million that was allocated, which was later applied for rollover. But we also have experiences that I think the deputy mayor, acting mayors indicated that they have resolved that issue that was a thorn to all of us, which is about the legal challenges that the metro was facing to the extent that it was affecting implementation of drought mitigation or response projects. But there's another angle, Honorable Chair and members, that we, and it's a universal problem that we are always raising. It's about the inextricable link between governance challenges and disaster risk reduction measures. We have experienced this in a manner where decisions to approve allocations of drought funds to particular votes were delayed or would be delayed because of administrative challenges or governance challenges that are in place. So we just want to indicate the fact that drought management also requires that you have stable municipality of governance system that enables quick decision making so that projects can be implemented with ease. So it is against this backdrop that we will like to receive a report and our liaise with the province. I'm convening a meeting tomorrow of the National Joint Drought Coordinating Committee where we'll be receiving reports from all provinces and sector departments. We would like to understand by when will the funds that have now been that have been allocated, which the acting mayor has referred to, by when will they have been spent so that communities can receive the much needed relief. So those are the issues that I can highlight. But finally, we want to appreciate the efforts that the municipality has put together, but also like to encourage them that whenever there is a view or a proposal to declare a municipal state of disaster, let there first be consultation with the relevant sector department. In the case of hydrological drought, with water and sanitation, if it's about agricultural drought, with agriculture, before any decision can be taken to declare a state of disaster in light of drought. We say this because somewhere in April we learned that a state of drought disaster was declared, and it needed to be first assessed by the NDMC and then before so that we can issue a classification letter based on the facts on the ground. So we just want to appeal that such measures should be taken into account in the future. So in a nutshell, we are meeting tomorrow as various role players in the country. We'll have a report from various provinces and we'll be able to brief the leadership accordingly. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good evening, Minister, honorable members, and the leadership of the Nelson Mandela Metro. Chairperson, there's just three issues I want to talk to. Firstly, is the concern that was raised by the CFO. We will follow up on the delays in terms of the grants, just to understand from National Treasury what are some of the reasons that are leading to these delays. But just to confirm that the benchmarking session that is planned for Monday, beyond just looking at the credibility of the budget, that session will also be looking at the programs in terms of how the Metro has actually reprioritized its budget to respond to COVID priorities. And then that's the session which we'll also utilize to clarify some of the concerns that were raised. And also to just indicate that Treasury, as part of the COVID measures, the Treasury has actually agreed to reprioritize all the grants as it relates to the metros, the USDG grant, the municipalities, the metros have been given a leeway to now reprioritize that grant to respond to some of the emergency challenges and needs in terms of responding to COVID. And also the regulations relating to the emergency procurement, it has given a leeway to the metros to actually find a speedier way of how to address some of the pressing needs. On the last issue, Chair, on the instability, political instability issues of the MM, I think that has been responded to by the Deputy Mayor and the MMC for infrastructure. But just to say that from our side, we are working closely with the provincial corporate department. We have actually asked for a comprehensive report on the state of the municipality. We had yesterday an engagement. The Deputy Minister, Dow, had an engagement with the MEC to also look at the state of this municipality. So we will continue to work with the province in the monitoring of developments. And hopefully that the next council meetings will be able to address some of the pressing issues around the election of a mayor and resolving the issue of the municipal managers. Thank you, Chairperson.
The
issue
was
seen
as over to you, Minister.
Thank you very much, Chair, honorable members, and the Deputy Mayor and Acting Mayor and all the members of the delegation from the Nelson Mandela, all the councillors. I think a lot of the questions have been responded to, but I just wanted to make a few comments that indeed what DDG Force is saying, I've asked the Deputy Minister Dow to assist working with the province, of course, because it is first and foremost the province that must act, but we have agreed that we will work with the province, not only in this municipality, but also we'll try and work with them in other municipalities that have challenges. I also want to just thank them for the presentations that they've made, including what they are doing on the COVID-19. But of course, the COVID-19 does mean that there has to be a very agile council that is able to act quickly, not just in the drought issues, as Dr. Dow has said, but COVID needs really a lot of agility. And therefore, it would be good if there could be council meetings that will also have a quorum to make sure that the outstanding matters are addressed in including the outstanding matter of the mayor. The deputy mayor and acting mayor has done a lot of work, but it is desirable that after 6 months, maybe there should be a mayor possible. And also, we just want to remind the municipality that the metro, that there was a decision that whilst there was a lockdown, the procurement had to be done by the mayor, the MMs, and so on. But at the first council meeting, they have to report what procurement, emergency procurement has been done. And I think Treasury is looking forward to the municipality being able to have a correct council meeting. So we would really urge the metro, the councillors, to try and resolve all the outstanding issues so that there is no threat of Treasury withholding the budget, especially the equitable share and so on. So I just wanted to say that, and to say that the COVID is a big problem now in the Eastern Cape, and of course the metro is an epicenter, so they need to do quite a lot of work, and I'm happy that they are saying they are working closely with the Department of Health, because it does require very close collaboration, not only with health, but with other departments. And the president has now said that he's going to be sending ministers and deputy ministers to be champions for each region, district and metro, so that there is a constant support from the executive to the district, not only just during COVID, but beyond COVID. So I just wanted to make those few remarks, and thank you, Chair. I'm glad I was able to join you tonight. Thank you.
Thank you so much, colleague. As we have indicated, colleague from the metro, we know you are the leading COVID-19 hotspot in the province, and there will always be the need to have follow-up meetings with yourself, like we've done with the other cities. But I think what is critical and key that the mayor is also committed to then deal with the issue of the plan itself that you said is there. And then I think that's the plan that you can share is with us so that we can then continue to monitor you on. But nevertheless, we want to appreciate the effort that you are doing as the minister itself in fighting the pandemic. So you can always expect us to again call you back in future to also, because we'll be doing oversight on this plan that the level asks about whether there is a critical COVID-19 response plan. Then that one is going to change with us. This is a tool we are going to use to monitor you on. With this new one, I think we've also exhausted the time allocated for us by Parliament right on time. It's almost 9 o'clock on my watch. We want to thank the team Nelson Mandela Bay for having made this presentation to us, and we hope you continue to educate the people as you've been doing. And it's also then to minimize the stress. I think if we can lead that campaign as the minister also said that President is going to deploy
prime ministers to come and support you, and also appreciate the work that the department is doing together with the provincial council in supporting the municipality. So this engagement is ongoing, and then we believe we are going to prioritize the issues as raised of the feeling of the concluding the matter with the MM and feeling that the case is losing the feeling the vacancy of the mayor SF, and then we will make sure that the council meets and correct as it expected figures so that we are able to process the business of council. Want to thank you for availing yourself, to thank the minister as well for availing herself to respond to these critical issues as raised by members, and also thank Honorable Hendrik for saying they need to join this committee. We want to also appreciate you, and then to confirm the attendance of members as I mentioned, for always availing themselves. Honorable Haberi in our midst, Honorable, Honorable Prince, Honorable Prince Tawa, Honorable Mkamiti, Honorable Tuli, Honorable Keza, Honorable Kou, Honorable Oferman. So that those were the members that were in attendance, including Honorable Henry. So the colleagues, I want to thank you for meeting next week. We have your programs.